Swoosie Kurtz has appeared in dozens of plays, movies, and popular TV shows, including the current hit, Mike and Molly. Swoosie collected the Tony, the Drama Desk, and the Outer Critics Circle Awards, Broadway's Triple Crown, for her portrayal of Gwen in Lanford Wilson's The Fifth of July. She starred with the biggest names of stage and screen, received several Emmy and Golden Globe nominations, and won an Emmy for her guest-starring performance on Carol Burnett's comedy series, Carol and Company. Today we'll speak with Swoosie about her new memoir, Part Swan, Part Goose, an uncommon memoir of womanhood, work, and family. Welcome, Swoosie. I'm thrilled to have you with us on the Book Report.
Well, I'm so happy to be here, Elaine. Thank you.
Okay, even though you've been asked this question over and over and over again, how did your parents come to name you Swoosie?
Well, my father was quite an overachiever, a real war hero, for one thing. He was the most decorated Air Force pilot of World War II, and he flew a plane during the war, a B-17 called the Swoos. And it was named the Swoos after a popular song that was about this strange-looking bird who was sort of half swan, half goose. And Doris, it was a funny song out at the time, and Doris Day sang it, and Bob Hope sang it. And so somehow, you know, this plane was important to my dad, and somehow my parents felt this was an appropriate name for a baby. So I've lived with it all these years, but now I embrace it. You know, when I was a kid, I just desperately wanted to be Mary or Jane. But now I think it's distinctive.
Right.
It's a great legacy.
Part Swan, Part Goose chronicles your amazing career, yet it's also a tribute to your parents. Can you introduce them to the listeners?
Yeah, it really is a Valentine to my parents. My dad, as I said, was the most decorated Air Force pilot of World War II. He was also on three Olympic diving teams. And my mother was a terrific writer. She had a book published in 1945 called My Rival, the Sky, which was really the story of her and my father's meeting and courtship and marriage. And it ends with my birth. And it's such a beautiful book. I have excerpts from it kind of woven into my book, all through my book, to sort of compare, you know, these two women, very strong women, where they were in their lives, say at 20 and 30, and the very different decisions that my mom and I made going on in life, and how they worked great for both of us.
Right. You shared that before you started high school, your family had moved 17 times and you had lived in 8 different states. How did that shape you?
Well, I tell you, it was the best boot camp in the world for the life I live now as an actor, you know, because it had absolutely no continuity. The only continuity were my parents and my grandparents in Omaha, Nebraska, where we would go back very often. That was my only real home and stability. It was very tough because I was an only child, and I was very shy, and so we really, I think it threw me back on my parents. I would go to them, you know, to be my best friends, and I think that's one reason the three of us became so incredibly close.
Speaking of which, I know that your high school acting teacher was a big force in your life. Was it he who started you on your path?
He really did light the fire for me. I knew before I went into his class that I wanted to be an actress, but he really showed me the way, John Engel. And he was pretty legendary at Hollywood High and then Beverly Hills High, but I went to Hollywood High for a while. And he, just a bit of interesting trivia for your listeners. He ultimately had his own career and became Quartermain on General Hospital.
You lived across the street at that time from Bob Hope. Did you ever bump into him on the street?
Absolutely. Oh, Bob and Dolores were so good to us when we first moved into that neighborhood. They welcomed us to the neighborhood by inviting us over to their house, and we went for years and years. We celebrated birthdays and anniversaries with them, and they were just, you know, wonderful to us.
Now, your first big break was an appearance, and I'm putting that in quotes, on the Donna Reed Show. Tell us about that.
Oh, gosh. Yes, well, when I was in high school, I did a play, and it was kind of a cliche story because this famous casting director, Eddie Foy III, came to see it at Hollywood High, and came backstage and said, I want to cast you in the Donna Reed show, which was, you know, on decades ago, but it was very popular then. And I was just overwhelmed because, I got my SAG card and I got to get out of school to go film, and I felt like, you know, the big girl on campus. So, of course, we had all the relatives lined up all over the country when it aired, you know, watching my television debut. And it was really my first lesson in show business. You know, don't count your chickens. I was pretty much cut from it. I mean, I had a conversation on the phone with Sally Fabares, which we shot, but when it came out and was edited, you just simply saw her face the whole time, and mine was a voice on the other end.
Part Swan, Part Goose is filled with wonderful photographs, including one that features your eyeball projected over Jimi Hendrix at one of his concerts. How did that happen?
Oh, yeah, that's a keeper. You know, my boyfriend for years during the 60s was Joshua White, who formed and created the now legendary Joshua Light Show, which during the 60s and early 70s was the liquid light show, the projections, you know, on the screen behind the famous singers at the Fillmore East in New York. Excuse me. And he did these amazing, and of course everybody was, you know, stoned and everything. Not us, we weren't, but people were, you know, imbibing a lot back then, and acid and various things. And it was the Jefferson Airplane and the Doors and Janis Joplin. And Josh was a great graphic artist as well, and he took a photo, a close-up of my eyeball, and he blew it up, and he put it on the projection behind Jimi Hendrix when Jimmy was performing live on stage, and I was part of the projection. So he took a photo of that, and I have it. So I can say I was on stage with Jimi Hendrix.
We're speaking with Susie Kurtz on The Book Report. David Letterman has made such a mark on TV with his Late Show. What was it like to work with him in a Mary Tyler Moore musical sketch show, one that also starred Michael Keaton?
It was hilarious. I don't know if you saw the other night, but about a week ago, David Letterman had Michael Keaton on as a guest, and they talked about this Mary show for about 10 minutes. It was an hour variety show, kind of like SNL, where, you know, we did sketch material, we did songs and dances and production numbers. And it was crazy because none of us were really adept at song and dance, but we were taught this, you know, intricate choreography and stuff, which none of us could really follow, especially Dave. He would actually do the warm-up, if you can believe this, for the live audience that we had. And Dave Letterman would do the warm-up, and of course he was brilliant. And I would watch him, and I would say to everybody, this guy is going to take over for Johnny Carson. And I know that sounds now like Monday morning quarterbacking, but I actually said, oh my God, this guy is amazing. And there he is.
As such an amazing actress, how do you decide which roles to accept?
Well, you know, as an actor, you don't have a lot of control as to what comes over the transom. You really, you're only, one of the only things you can do is say yes or no. I look at the woman on the page, like, can I bring her to life? Is she someone I've played before? In which case, I really probably don't want to do it. Does she scare me? Is this scary? Like, oh gosh, I don't know if I can do this. In which case, I have to do it.
Right. You've worked with so many superstars. If you could meet three of them again tomorrow, one for breakfast, one for lunch, and one for dinner, who would you choose and why?
Oh, that's a great question. Katharine Hepburn, because she is, I worked with her in the last movie, and the last scene she ever did on film is between the two of us. And then I think Tony Randall, because he was such a life force. We worked together on this series called Love, Sydney for a couple of years. And he just is, again, uniquely and unapologetically Tony. And let's see, the third one would probably be, I think, Carol Burnett, because just, you know, how brilliant and funny is she? It was a real pioneer at making it okay for women to be funny.
Your work in Mike and Molly allows you to work with new and upcoming talent. How has TV changed since your early work on series?
Well, it's just blown through to another level. I go to do Sisters in 1990, and the networks were very upset when they heard that we were discussing orgasms in the pilot, and a lot of affiliates started pulling out, you know, and we didn't change anything, but they would delete stuff. And then coming to do Love, Sydney I guess that was before that. That was more like the 80s. And, you know, Tony trying very, very hard to make this character of Sydney gay in a half-hour format on network television. And it pretty much got de-gayed by standards and practices. Hmm. But he really tried. You know, it was kind of really the first gay character on television, or meant to be anyway. And you leap to now when we can say and do anything, even on network TV, pretty much. Cable, of course, anything goes. But, for instance, on Mike and Molly, I mean, I just feel like I embrace it and I love it, the lustiness of this character. But I really feel like a lot of the time I should be bleeped.
What's next for you?
Gosh, you know, I don't know. We have another season of Mike and Molly coming up, season 6, believe it or not. And so that will keep me in L.A. for most of next year.
Swoosie, any final thoughts about the book?
Just that the book is really, it's a love story about a family. And I dedicated it to my parents who really gave me the world.
Swoosie, I want to congratulate you on a book that I loved from page one. And I don't say that about every book I've read.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much.
Oh, it was a great book. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Elaine, thank you so much. It was great talking to you.
All righty. Bye now.
Bye-bye.